Holy presence comes upon us. Oh, let there be a fullness of your love, your peace, and your joy. No matter what we're facing right now, Lord, as we surrender it to you, I pray that you're going to replace all the worry, all the anxiety with great peace, Lord. Let it flow so deep within our hearts and souls that we know, Father, you are truly in our midst. And Father, we welcome you because, Lord, we know you are truly Lord and Master over our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this time. We give it all to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you take a look at your notes today, we're continuing our sermon series called Exposing the Lies Within. And we're on part five, and we're going to talk about New Age teachings. You guys heard of New Age? Well, that's what I'm going to be talking about today. I got to tell you, I remember, you know, in the early 1990s, when I came back home from college, you know, I was still pretty much a baby Christian, and I knew I had to find a Christian church that I could call home. And, you know, at first I decided, okay, I'm going to attend my cousin's church, and it was a Missionary Alliance church, and it was a good church. But then after like a couple of years, you know, I decided I want to explore some other churches that are here on this island. So I started to attend many different denominational churches like Baptist, Presbyterian, and Pentecostal. And here's the thing. After attending, like, I don't know, like 6-7 churches, I still wanted to find something more exciting and more adventurous. After all, I'm thinking, I'm a young adult in my 20s, and I got a lot of energy. I got a vibrant mind. I want to go to a church where I want to be jumping, and I want to be, you know, just glorifying the Lord, and I want to have my mind stimulated by the messages. And thinking back now, you know, I wasn't really looking for a church home. I was really looking for a social club, you know. I wanted to be entertained. I got to be honest, that's how I was at that age. And so, you know what I did? I looked in the yellow pages under church, and I found a category called New Age Church. And I thought to myself, I didn't know anything about it. I said, it sounds pretty interesting, New Age Church. And since I didn't know anything about it, I decided, you know, I'm going to call my brother Walton, you know, because, you know, he knows the Lord, and he was studying to be a pastor at that time. And the first thing he told me, Ben, stay away. Don't do that. And I remember he was just like so like serious about it. He said, don't do it. And he told me, he says, what they teach is not biblical. And in fact, they are considered to be more of a cult. And the funny thing is, you know, you guys got your yellow pages just recently. I didn't know they're still making those things, those yellow page books, you know. And so I just got it, and I said, hey, I remember I picked it up, I put it in our living room, and it would have just stayed in that bag, never been taken out. But I said, let me see if they're still there, if that category, New Age Church, is still there. Guess what? It's no longer there. And I was thinking, hey, how come? You know, I remember 1990s, there was New Age Church, and it was like a couple or several, maybe two or three. And after doing a lot of research, I discovered that, you know, there are not too many New Age churches around anymore. But guess what? Their teachings and their doctrines can be found where? In the Christian churches. And that's what I was reading. I go, oh, you know, and that's why if you're not careful, you can be deceived. If you're not in the Word of God, these strange teachings can come to any church, because anyone can say, hey, this is what I heard. Yeah, this, you got to believe it. And we got to understand, if it's not according to the Word of God, what do? We give it the boot, right? We kick it out and say, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to reject that because it's not the truth. So we know there's bits and pieces of these false teachings that are within our Christian churches. So here's a question. Look in your notes. It says, so what are the primary teachings of the New Age doctrine? Well, false teaching, remember, it's a false teaching. This is not truth, okay? False teaching number one, Jesus was not and is not the only Christ, nor is he God. Okay, when you hear that, should there be like a red light? You should say, no, I'm getting, no, I ain't receiving that. But here's the thing, as Christian believers, when we think of the word Christ, we may think to ourselves, you know what? There is only one meaning to the word Christ. Christ. In actuality, there is only how many Christ? Just one Christ. It is by the means of Jesus, the Christ, that people are saved. Okay, so this title, Christ, is only given to Jesus, which basically means Jesus saves, right? And thereby, we can have a true spiritual relationship with God because of the very fact that Jesus saved us when he did what? He suffered and he died for us on that cross. And he rose again, so that he's alive within us and that we have that connection. Once again, it's restored with Father God. So when we think of Christ, we believe that Jesus is the one and only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It signifies that Jesus was sent from God to be King and Deliverer, that he delivered us from our sins. However, many New Age writers, on the other hand, refer to a Christ spirit. When they talk about Christ, they're referring to a Christ spirit. They believe there have been many Christs, and Jesus is only one of many. And remember, this is also being taught in some Christian churches. You have to understand this. And in New Age literature, the New Agers understand Christ as a reincarnated avatar, which is a representation of God, right? A Messiah or messenger sent from the hierarchy to give to the people that are living on earth so that they can have this special revelation from them. This is how they define Christ, okay? And remember, they say there are many Christ, and there are a hierarchy of Christ, okay? And the New Age accepts that Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, and Jesus, they were all Christ. This is what they will teach, and this is what, you know, some of these false teachers will say within our Christian churches. Okay, is this truth? Absolutely not. But you know what? There are some Christians that believe. How do I know? Sometimes I get asked, Pastor, I heard in my church that Buddha is Christ. I go, what? I said, no, only Jesus is Christ. Don't go there because that is danger. That is falsity that you don't want to receive in your life, because if you do, you don't know Jesus, because Jesus is the only Christ. Amen? So what is the truth? Well, I want you to look at what it says here in Acts 4, 11, 12. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected now has become the cornerstone. There is what? Salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is salvation in what? No one else. It's only by Jesus Christ who saves. He is our Savior, the one and only, no other one but just Jesus Christ. And there is only one Christ that can save you, and that is Jesus Christ. I want you to look what it says here in John 1, 17. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through who? Jesus Christ. Because we know, through Moses, what is called the Mosaic Law. He gave us what were the laws that were to be followed in the Old Testament. But you know what? Not until Jesus came, right? God's unfailing love and faithfulness came upon us. Where it's not something that we're forced to do, because in a sense, right, in the Old Testament, they say, these are the laws you gotta follow. You know, these are what God said, and you must do it. You know, with Jesus coming into the picture, he shows us his love and his mercy. And he says, this is what you must follow so that you will experience great blessings in your life. You'll experience the goodness from my Father if you choose this. It's a totally different kind of feeling or mindset where now we say, you know what? I want to do what God tells me because I know how much he loves me. I know he desires good for me, and I want to follow his plan because I know this is the only way I will be truly blessed. A total difference. And because Jesus came and did what he did, he is Jesus Christ, he saved us from a life of eternal damnation. He saved us so that we could once again be reunited with the Father and just experience the fullness of his love, his mercy, and his grace. And you know, when Jesus is referred to as Christ, he is the only one, the one and only. You know, I got to tell you, a few days ago, you know, I decided I would try Popeye's fried chicken sandwich. You guys ever tried it? You know, it's a lot of big, you know, hoopla. And people say, oh, super good, you know. And my friends, they're texting me, yeah, Ben, you got to try it. It's the best chicken sandwich, you know, ever, you know, and better than Jack in the Box. And, you know, I was like, okay, I got to try someday. I never really got the chance, but I was in Cali the other day. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try them, you know. And so, you know, because I know people nationwide, right, were willing to stand in line for, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes, or wait in their car. I mean, I heard the line got, like, around the block. People were, I don't know what the big deal. It's just hype, right? And people were giving in to the hype. And so I was like, okay, I got to try it. So I ordered two sandwiches, not both for me, one for Benson, right, because I'm picking him up at school, right? And I gave my name to the cashier, right? And I said, okay, my name is Ben, and I was just waiting at the line, you know, for my order to come. And just then, the person's order before me was ready. And I was looking at the bag. I saw the name Jesus. Jesus? Where? You know, it was Jesus, right? And I wonder, wow, do I actually believe my Lord Jesus Christ is here? He's ordering a chicken sandwich, right? No, it was an elderly white-haired gentleman named Jesus. Because he said, yeah, Jesus, your order's ready, right? But here's the thing. Even if actually the full name of Jesus Christ was written on the bag, come on, I know Jesus wouldn't be standing in line waiting for a sandwich, right, from Popeyes. But you know, I know for a fact the actual time that I will see Jesus face-to-face is when I meet him in the air, when he raptures me into glory. If I ever see that day where, you know, if I'm still alive, right, if you're still alive, who knows, that may happen. But the fact is, when he comes and he raptures us, he is Jesus Christ, because he is Jesus who saves. Amen? I want you to look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in what? Dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together, rapture, right, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We know Jesus is Christ, because he will come to save us. He will take us away from that tribulation period. That great tribulation period, there's going to be great suffering and torment for those who never receive Christ. That's what the Bible tells us, all right? Or the very fact, you know, that when our physical body will cease to exist, guess what? You know, we're going to be with Jesus. Because the fact of the matter is, right, this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 7 to 9. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. So the very fact is, sometimes people say, so Pastor Ben, am I going to heaven if I were to die right now? You know, am I going to go straight to heaven? Well, we know our eternal home, right, is the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. What you really should be concerned about is who you're going to be with. It's not so much where, because, you know, the Bible tells us, right, we will be with Jesus. As Paul says here, to be away from your body is to be with Christ. What does that mean? Our spiritual man, our soul, will go straight to Jesus. You can count on that. And sometimes people say, well, what about heaven? Am I going to go to heaven? Well, you're going to be where Jesus is. Where Jesus is, that's the most important thing, right? Where Jesus is, you're going to experience great peace, great joy, oh, love that is eternal. I mean, that's where we're going. We're going to Jesus. Amen? Jesus Christ, who is your Savior, who is my Savior, who loves us so much. I want you to look at false teaching number two now. It says, God is impersonal. This is what they're teaching, right? A cosmic God of energy forces. Once again, you got to remember, I can understand this is in like a cult church. No, this is what is being taught in some Christian churches. I want you to understand that, okay? And the New Ager will teach that all things, including man, constitute what they refer to as the One. okay? They are called the universal mind. If you hear these words, reject it, okay? You can hear the universal mind, the source, universal self, cosmic consciousness, universal presence, or the force. May the force be with you, right? Where do you hear that? Star Wars, right? And sometimes they'll call it the inner voice or the higher self or intuition. Okay, when you hear things like this, you know, remember, this is stuff you don't want to take in, okay? Because they will say this is God. And they will say that God is an impersonal energy or force, right? Where they will say to you that he exists in all things, including man. And we know there's some truth. We know the Holy Spirit resides in us. But the fact is, they will say this force is in you. But this force is impersonal. What does that mean? It has no emotion for you. This force doesn't show you any love or any kind of emotion that will let you know that you are so valued by him. Is that the kind of God you want? No emotional feelings for you. Just a force. It comes upon you. No, the Bible tells us God loves us deeply, more than you shall ever know. I mean, that's the kind of God I want to serve, knowing that I'm so loved by Papa God. He tells me and you to call him Abba, Abba Father, Daddy God. I mean, that's what brings us great joy, doesn't it? And that's what we have with him, this kind of relationship. And, you know, they will also teach that God can be referred to as either she or he. He said, you don't have to call him just he. No, you can call him she. And I heard this. I went to some churches. They actually said that. That's okay. You can call him Mother God if you want, or Father God. Oh, my goodness. You know, and or even some will say, oh, you can call him God or Goddess. Oh, no. Don't do. That's not according to what the Bible says. And we cannot be deceived, because when New Agers mention God in their teachings, they do not mean God or Jesus Christ of the Bible. And you know, most New Age teachers hold that Mother Earth or Mother Nature, the sun, the moon, and the stars, indeed, all of nature can be worshipped as God. And I'm going to tell you, I went to a church, they were kind of teaching that. I was going, should I be here? Because I was kind of a new Christian, you know? I was like, no, this doesn't sound right. I was a new Christian, and I kind of had sense enough to know, no, this is not what the Bible says, right? And you know, I remember when I was a fairly new Christian, I went to a Bible study group, and the members, they were talking about this, saying, yeah, this is true, you know. We can call him Mother God. Mother God. You know? You know, interchange them, Ben. It's fine. That's what God wants. Call him Father God sometimes. They call him Mother God, too. God is fine with that. And good thing I didn't listen to this guy, right? I went to one of the leaders of the church and said, no, Ben, the Bible clearly tells us that, you know, we are to call him Father God. And, you know, in some of the churches, like World Mission Society Church of God, this is a Christian church now, they may go as far as to say that God has a bride, the Heavenly Mother. That's what they teach, right? But the Bible clearly teaches, who is the bride of Christ? We are. The church is the bride of Christ, not a heavenly mother. No, there's only one bride, and that's us. We're married to Christ. Amen? And this is the truth. I want you to look at Isaiah 44:6. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of heaven's armies, I am the first and the last. There is what? No other God. You know, make it very simple. We serve how many God? One, right? Not three, one. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, okay? Three and one. Don't ever tell someone, oh, I serve three gods. No, they're all one. But it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in reference to what Jesus taught us, how we should address God in our prayers, he tells us in Matthew 6:9. Okay, you know the prayer. Let's read that. Ready? Go. This then is how you should pray. Our what? Our Father, not mother, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Very simple. If Jesus says we are to do this, are you going to follow him? Yeah, he says our Father. He never says our mother or whatever else, okay? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And these New Agers will also teach that, guess who else is God? Man is God. They will tell you, yeah, you are God too. Remember we talked about last week, we were talking about, or the week before that, about little God? This is more extreme. It's not about being little God. No, you are God. This is little, it's worse than that, right? About being a little God. And guess what? For man, he consists of and is the creator of these forces. That's what they're saying, that we, as God, are the creator of the forces that are out in nature. And they will teach that man already exercises the powers that are present in his divine nature, and he only needs to be awakened to this fact. He said, you're not going to know until someone tells you that you truly are God. And once you're told this, and you go, oh, wow, awesome, I like that. And, oh, you're God. You know, this is what they will teach, okay? Don't go near that kind of teaching, all right? Because I'm going to tell you, I hear it. I hear it every now and often. Someone will tell me that. Say, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard that. I'm God, too. I said, oh, no. That's false teaching. Do not accept that. And because the New Ager will say that supernatural power exists, but it is ascribed to the creature, not the creator. Because we know supernatural power only comes from who? Only God. Because sometimes people, right, they pray for someone for healing. They say, yeah, see, I healed you. You know, when someone says that, run. When someone says, I healed you. Don't you know you had a disease? I prayed for you and you were healed. Always give glory to God, because God is the one who did it. He has a supernatural. He's inside of you, but it is his power. You understand? The very fact that he displays his power in you because you love him, you trust him, you have faith in him, and he brings it because he knows this. And I want you to look at Romans 1, 21 to 24. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to what? Think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Okay, let me stop right there. They thought that, hey, maybe I'm God, right? They can think, okay, who is God? Maybe I'm God, right? That's what they kind of think, because they got all these foolish ideas in their head. Let's continue. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God, what did he do? He abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's body. What did God do? God abandoned them because they started to think, I'm God. He started worshiping either man or worshiping themselves. And they will teach the I am God concept so that it will appeal to man's ego, right? And the thirst for power. And when man says, yeah, I wouldn't mind being God, you know, that means I got great power, right? And guess who Satan did that to in the Garden of Eden? He did that to Eve, right? Actually, it was Adam and Eve. You cannot just say it was Eve. Adam, he probably bit into it as much as Eve did, right? But look what it says here in Genesis 3:5. Look what Satan says here. Ready? Go. For God knows that when you eat of it, this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And that's the thing, right? Someone comes to you and says, oh yeah, you can be like God. All you got to do is just take one bite out of this fruit and you got him. Come on, sometimes, you know, we can say, why did Eve do that? You know, but no, come on. Someone offered you great power. Say, you can be like God. All you got to do is this thing right here. Come on. Some people would say, okay, tell me what to do. I'll do it exactly to the T. Just tell me how to do it. Danger, because guess what? God will abandon you when he knows that you're going on a path that you want to become God. You want to take his role. No, don't go on that path, brothers and sisters. Know that there's only one God, and that's Father God. And we got to trust that he's the only one, and there's no one else. And The one true goal of the New Age movement is to cause people to rebel against the one true God of the Bible and make them believe that they too are gods, right? And that's where you get the word deity, spelled D-E-I-T-Y. That's pertaining to God. And he wants you to believe you're a deity, which means, yeah, you're God too. And once Satan has convinced you of this, you're done for. Because guess what's going to come in? First and foremost, the spirit of pride will come into your mind, into your heart, into your life, where you're going to go, yeah, I'm even greater than God. And then you're on a path of great destruction. And guess what's going to happen after that? You're going to be called for greater service to the prince of darkness. Because now he's saying, okay, now I got this guy. Well, now I'm going to use him in such ways, and I'm going to use his life to bring me all the honor and all the glory. And that's where some people, they fall, and they fall hard. And, you know, after all, you know, as I said before, you know, I don't know if you guys remember this, what I told you, like probably several sermons back, you know, when it concerns Satanists or Satan worshipers, remember what I told you? What will they teach new members when it concerns worship? When it concerns worship, is it worshiping Satan or is it worshiping self? Every Satanist will tell you, they will teach you how to worship yourself. It's not about worshiping Satan. They will say, no, worship yourself because you're greater than God. You see that? That's what they will teach you, because they want you to hit the pavement hard. When you got all the self-pride in you, that's where you're going to say, I don't want anything to do with God because I'm greater than God. And so don't even entertain that thought, because I'm going to tell you, there are churches, yes, Christian churches, that will teach things like that. And this is the deception within, right? We know this is stuff that we just want to be so far, far away from, you know, because, you know, that's what that devil wants to do. So secondly, I want to just get rid of that notion. The fact is that they say that God is impersonal. Remember I told you that they say that, you know, God is just a force. Yeah, he has no motion for you. He's just a force. You know, he's just a power. You know, that's all you feel. You don't feel love. Oh, man, I don't want to serve a God like that, right? But they will teach you that's what he is. He's a force. But let's just dispel that notion, okay? Look what it says here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from who? Love comes from who? Comes from God. How can you say he's an impersonal force? Love comes from who? From God. He's all about love, and he loves us. Let's continue there. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let's say it again. Because what? God is love. How can you say he's an impersonal force? Come on. And verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. What did he demonstrate to us? He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And he sent his Son as an ultimate sacrifice for our sins. I mean, what great love. There's no more awesome love than the love of God. And our worship should belong to God and God only, no one else. Because of the fact that you know what he did for you and for me. I want you to look what it says in John 4, 23 to 24. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And sometimes people miss this. I want you to catch this now. It says we will worship who? The Father, Spirit, Holy Spirit, and truth. Who's the truth? Jesus is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So this is worshiping God as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You see that? That's where true worship is really what it should be. When we worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as one. You see that? And if we can do that, that's where God is pleased. That's what we need to do because that's what the Bible teaches us. Amen? I want you to look at false teaching number 3 now. It says here, man should seek and accept spiritual instruction and direction directly from the spirit world. This is, once again, remember, this is what some Christian churches are teaching. I know, kind of totally unreal, but that's what it is. And for some Christians, right, we know they crave a knowledge of the spiritual, and we do too, right? We want to experience God in the fullness of his holy presence. And we want to, and for some, right, they want to experience a power that is supernatural and out of the ordinary. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, we get that too, right? Where we're praying and sometimes people say, you know what? All the hairs on my arms are standing up. I know this is God. You just feel like a sweet, loving presence. We know that's God, right? But it should be that the only supernatural or spiritual experience that we should ever receive is from who? From the Holy Spirit of God. Anything else, stay away, get far. Don't even get near that because that's the thing, right? We want to sense God's awesome and loving presence more than anything else. But, you know, the very fact is, you know, we know when we are in the presence of God, we will hear his sweet, loving voice deep in our hearts and souls, right? Sometimes people say, you know, God just whispering. Right now, he's just whispering the wisdom that we need so that we can get through the challenges in our daily life. And I believe that because sometimes when I'm really deep in meditation, in his scripture, and in his word, I just feel, I don't hear an audible voice, but I know God is speaking to me. And I go, oh, thanks, Lord. Oh, and I just know the presence of God becomes so powerful. It's because you're taking the time to draw so near to him because the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Who makes that first step? We do. We draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And when you yearn for him like that, he will make himself known to you. But here's the thing. With New Agers, they will tell you, it's okay. Yeah, you got to do all that. Pray and meditate and experience his presence like that. But they will tell you, it's okay to seek other sources too. You know, other than God, right? It says you can, you know, have these supernatural experiences by digging deep into the spirit world. Wow. And, you know, it should be, right? It's a God-given desire for us to speak our spirituality, to really draw close to the Holy Spirit. But for the New Ager, you got to understand, New Ager that will teach this in the Christian church, no, they will tell you, you can go to a psychic too, or a channeler, or a palm reader, or a card reader, maybe even a Ouija board. Yeah, go pick one up at the store, Walmart, right? No, don't do that. It's demonic. I'm going to tell you, don't even go near those kinds of things, you know, or even astrology or even your horoscope readings. I'm going to tell you, if you're doing that, stop, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's grieving the Holy Spirit. Some Christians think, no, it's totally okay, Pastor, just for fun. I say, for fun, why? You know, because do you believe what it says that, oh, today you're going to walk out and you're going to run into a lot of cash? A lot of moolah. I mean, are you really going to believe that? Well, yeah, if he says it's going to be a lot of moolah. You know, I said, no, don't do that. Because this is something God doesn't want you to do. And he says either astrology or magic charming, automatic writing, or even consulting a spirit of a dead friend or relative. Say, I can do that, right? I can just call on them, right? I just want to talk to them because I miss them. I said, no. This is not something you want to do because I'm going to tell you, it's a demonic spirit that you're talking to. It's not your loved one. Because we know, you know, the fact is when we die, we're going to be either with Jesus or not. They cannot come back. There's only one case, right, where we know that, you know, Saul did that. But, you know, no way that you can believe that the dead can be brought back and they can talk to you. You know, most recently, you know, some Christian churches, I know this is unbelievable, right? Christian churches, they have started this practice of what is called grave soaking. Grave soaking. So what is it? they actually go to the graveyard and they lie on the graves of these great spiritual leaders of our day, or leaders or teachers, right? And they just lie on the grave and say, oh, we just want to experience your wisdom. They lie on the graves and they're asking, you know, to give us your wisdom so that we can, you know, have the answers to the problems we face in society today. And they're hoping to soak up the spiritual presence, not of God, but of a human spirit, right? And they really believe that somehow this spirit will come upon them and suddenly they will have answers that they need. Okay, the truth now. I want you to look what it says here. Leviticus 26. Oh, okay. Man, I read this, I'm going, oh, you got to take it serious here. Leviticus 26. Read it with me. Ready? Go. I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists to what? What does God use in the word? Prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from their people. Well, God used the word prostitute. In other words, you're being unfaithful to me. That's what means prostitute. I mean, you're being unfaithful. You're cheating on me. You're prostituting yourself. Okay? Look what it says in Isaiah 8:19. Let's read together. Ready? Go. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? And the prophet Isaiah said, what in the world are you guys doing, man? You know, you should be seeking God for guidance, for wisdom. Why are you seeking it from human spirit? What? First of all, that's not a human spirit. That is a demonic spirit, okay? Let's make it very clear. It's a demonic spirit, and you should just stay so far away from that. And Satan is always trying to deceive believers with counterfeits of God's knowledge and power as the real thing. That's what he does. He counterfeits, right? He deceives you into believing this is real, but it's not. And we can come to the point of accepting his versions of knowledge and power, right? He's got a foothold in our lives. If you start to believe, okay, maybe this can be true. Maybe I can really hear from my dead relative. And guess what? Once you start believing, you're going to start wanting to do it more, and you're going to go, okay, what about my other friend and my other relative? And suddenly you're just going to go down that path, which will lead to your spiritual destruction. Believe me, there are a lot of Christians that do this. They're deceived. They believe that this is perfectly fine. And I'm going to tell you, it isn't fine. This is something that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And we've got to understand that there may be grave consequences for our actions when it concerns this matter. Well, I want to tell you right now, one good example. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13 through 14, look what happened to Saul, and you will understand why God looks upon this as a very serious matter. I want you to read this with me. Ready? Go. Saul, what happened to him? He died because he was what? Unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord, what did he do? Put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Okay, do you guys see how serious this is now? So are you still going to read your horoscope if you are? No, don't do it. Don't do it. Believe me, brother and sister, this is a path you don't want to go on. Anything that you're seeking guidance from in a spiritual kind of way is a big no-no to God. I want you to get that. Whatever it is. Even a lucky rabbit's foot. Right? Oh, just kidding, just for fun, right? But I said, oh, you really believe it gives you luck? Oh, yeah, give me good luck. Right? When I care. Okay, that's right there. God is saying, wow, you believe in that rabbit's foot more than me. Don't go there. Don't go there. Just know that God is your one and only. Amen? Be faithful to him. He's your one and only. Trust in him with all your heart. And God will show himself to be so faithful and true. I want you to look at false teaching number 4 now, our last one here. It says, sin and evil do not exist. Peace and love are the ultimate realities, right? Well, this is what they teach. It's a false teaching, right? Because, yeah, we know, right? We want peace and love and all that. But once again, as we have learned in most of the false teachings, you know, that we have covered in the past several weeks, right? The thing is, these New Agers also deny that sin and evil exist. They said, no, that's not something you should be concerned about. It doesn't even exist. There's no sin. There's no evil. So what did Jesus come down on this planet Earth for? He suffered and died on the cross. For what? Our sins. So how can you say there is no sin or no evil on this planet Earth? And they also deny the existence of hell, right? Or Gehenna fire, and they deny judgment. And judgment from God, or the wrath of God. They say, no, God's not going to do that, right? No worry. No such thing. And they ultimately believe that God and the universe, right, is beyond good and evil. So you don't have to worry about it. Just live life however you want. Hey, God, you know, it's all good. And this is the kind of teaching that will destroy a believer's life. I'm going to tell you. And the New Age gospel does not promote strife and war, right, but aims at peace and unity. And this sounds good, right? It should be like that, right? We want peace and unity, but there are great wars that had to be fought in order for us to have freedom, right? I mean, the fact is there are many wars that had to be fought, right, in order for us to have what we have today. But, you know, they will teach, you know, it's all about being a brotherhood of man. And that's what the Christian teaching kind of tells us. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. But they're leaving out God. They're saying, no, intensify your love so much because you have no sin. You just intensify your love so much that you're going to love everybody. Everybody will love you, and there's going to be great peace, yeah, even without God. Does that sound like something we should receive? Absolutely not. Because they typically believe that when we as a natural man can better ourselves through education, right? Through self-improvement literature. You can read all these books, right? There's many books about how you can become a better person, right? A more loving person, right? Guess what? When you just simply do that, you can attain the best that is within you. Do you think we really can get far with that? Or do we really need God to help us become the person he wants us to be? Person who truly knows Christ, a person who truly loves from deep within their heart and soul. Only God can do that. You can read hundreds upon thousands of books about how to love others. No, you don't got God, you don't got Jesus Christ, you never get to where God wants you to be. Because remember, the kind of love God has is what is called unconditional love or agape love. It's unconditional. The only way we can attain this kind of love is through who? Through Jesus Christ. And, you know, here's the thing. We know that they will teach that at a point, right, that when you can attain all this, remember I told you that they believe in many Christs, not just one, right? They say, when you get to this point, guess what? You're not going to need all these Christs anymore. That's what they will teach, right? Because guess what? You yourself are God. Right? And guess what? They will tell you ultimately, you know, that force, we don't need to talk about that anymore because you are God. And, you know, I hate to say this, but a lot of Christians, they bite into that because it just sounds like something that will give them power. And why not? I want more power, right? So, hey, I'm going to accept that as truth. And that's where a lot of Christians, they going for a hard downfall because they're believing these lies. What is the truth? Well, look what it says here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we have made him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. So the very fact they're saying that there's no such thing as sin, there's no such thing as evil, guess what? You're making God a liar. That's what the Bible says, right? And his word is not in you. If you're saying, oh, I'm perfect, I have no sin. I heard Christians tell me this. Pastor, I'm perfect. I was taught that as a Christian, I'm perfect, so I don't make mistakes. Oh, really? So do you still need Jesus then? Because I'm imperfect and I need Jesus every day. And that's the kind of attitude we got to have. Never say, oh, I'm perfect. You know, because God wants us to become more like him. He is perfect. But doesn't mean that you are perfect, that you no longer make mistakes. No, you still make mistakes. I still make mistakes. That's why we still need Jesus more than ever. Amen? And you got to realize that's what God wants us to have, this kind of attitude, this kind of heart. I want you to look what it says here in John 16:33. Read it with me. Ready? Go. I, Jesus, have told you these things so that in me you may have what? May have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, so that in who? In him, in me, right? In Jesus, you may have peace. Because you know the peace the world offers? It doesn't last very long. You know, you can read something, you can say, oh, okay, that makes me feel good. Something is said to you, you know, that makes you feel more at ease. Oh, I feel good now. But how long is that going to last? When you got Jesus, you got a peace that stirs within your heart and soul. It never leaves you. This peace keeps on intensifying when you trust in Jesus. When you know Jesus is your Lord, he's your Savior, he's your Master, this peace only gets stronger, and his love gets stronger, and the joy gets stronger because you got Jesus. The New Agers teach, no, you can just attain peace on your own human effort. No, it ain't gonna work. It's only through the peace that God fills you with that you're gonna experience an everlasting peace. Amen? And that's how it's got to be. Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace. And you know, there are many popular songs, right, that sing of the need for mankind to come together and create peace without the assistance of God. I'm sure you can think of some songs right now, right? How about John Lennon's song, right? Remember, this song is called All We Are Saying Is What? Is give peace a chance, right? You know that song was written by John Lennon. But in one line, he mentions, he says, everyone's talking about ministers, sinisters, bishops, and rabbis. All we are saying is what? Give peace a chance. And what is he insinuating? Well, he's saying that because of God, right, or religion, right, we got many wars and problems. But the fact is, you know, what we have is not so much religion. We got a relationship with Jesus. Amen? That's what it comes down to. But, you know, the world will say, no, because of religion, because of God, you know, that's why we got so many problems. That's what a lot of people will say. And I'm sure you heard of the song Imagine, right? It's a very catchy tune, right? But you can understand. I even heard Christians say, Pastor, this is my favorite song, Imagine. You know, I love that song. It makes me feel so good. And I tell them, you know that's an anti-religion, anti-God song, right? Huh? Not. I said, okay, let's go get the lyrics. And when I show them the lyrics, oh, I'm never going to sing that song again. Right? And let me just read to you some of the lyrics, right? It says, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. It sounds, you know, you kind of like, wow, that sounds pretty good. But you realize you're saying, you know, don't think about God. There's no heaven. There's no hell. Hey, it's all about the people that come together that can create what is true peace. This is what they will teach. But we know we only can get true peace through who? Jesus Christ. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. You know, I had to ask myself, you know, what was it when I looked in those yellow pages, like more than 30 years ago, right? I looked under the word church. I had asked myself, what was it that had drawn me to that category, New Age Church? And I kind of asked the Holy Spirit, I said, what was it? And I really believe it was the word new. Because here's the thing, sometimes baby Christians and even some mature Christians think that their present church is not exciting enough for them. Like I said earlier, right? I want more. You know, I want to experience, like, oh, just excitement in the church, right? And so guess what? They start looking for churches that teach new teachings, right? Or sometimes even controversial teachings, you know? Just about, like, what I just mentioned about you can become God. That's biblical. No, it's not. And some people, they get caught up in that, and they say, okay, I want more of it, right? And then they start to go to these churches that teach these false teachings, and that's when they start to really see their faith in God diminish, because they're saying, I don't really need God, because guess what? I'm God. Wow. I want you to look what it says here in Romans 15:4. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have what? Hope. Whatever was written in what? The former days. What was written in the scriptures? You take it with your whole heart. Don't go thinking, okay, now I gotta find new things, new teachings that will get me more excited. No, what had been said, what had been taught, you receive it as truth. And get excited about that, because this is the word of God. When you try to make it something that it's not, that's when you're gonna get in trouble. You're going to see that your spirituality is going to be in deep trouble. No, it says here, Paul says, whatever is written in former days, you take it in. It was written for instruction. This is what will give you encouragement. This is what's going to give you hope when you just take that for what it is. Amen? And I want you to look what it says there in Jeremiah 6:16. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the what? The ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we're not going to walk in it. Why? Because they're bored, right? Jeremiah says, no, you stand by the roads. You go on those ancient paths. Those ancient paths of long ago, the forefathers were, they stood and they looked to the word of God with great heart, great zeal, and they were blessed in every way. Stay on that path and don't be distracted, because the devil, he's going to pull you away from what is truth. I guarantee you. If you're a believer, you're a child of God, the devil knows who you are. And he will try his best to deceive you whatever way he can. But what does it say? You must ask for the ancient paths, right? The paths that we know, what we learned through David and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all these great biblical figures in the Bible. We look to them, their example, and we are to live according to what is truth. Amen? And I'd like to conclude by playing this song for you. Yeah, I'm going to play Imagine. What? Don't get all bent out of shape. You think I would do that? I'm going to play the Christian version. But I want you guys to stand up and sing it with me. Okay, all right. Is that right? wants for us and God desires for us, that we can love each other with the very love of Christ. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can we just do that? Let's come into the mighty presence of God. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your message, what was spoken today. And we know we just sang this new version of a song that we all know, Imagine. This is how it should be sung, because we know we can imagine all this, Lord, that one day we're going to be standing face to face with you. And we're going to spend eternity with you forever and ever. And right now, deep in your heart, you say, you might be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I just heard the word of God. And I realize how much I really need Jesus, because sometimes I forget that he is my Lord and Savior. And we know all these new age teachings that may be going on in these churches. They may tell people that, no, you can become your own God, that you can have all this power. But we will simply say, no, I don't want that. I just want Jesus more than anything, because when I got Jesus, I got all that I shall ever want or need. And right now in your heart, you may be saying, you know, Lord God, I'm so sorry, because I know sometimes I crave for wealth, and I crave for power, I crave for riches, but sometimes I forget about who God is in my life. And right now in your heart, you're saying, Lord, I'm so sorry, because I want you to be my one and only true God, no one else. Only you, because my heart longs for you, desires you more than anything. And if this is the cry of your heart right now, you're saying, yes, that is me. That is me. Oh, so true that is me. I want God more than anything. Can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Saying, that is my heart, Lord. That is my heart. That is my heart. That is my heart. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you see now the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I truly desire you. And I pray as my brothers and sisters truly make you their one and only, I pray, Father, that they will experience showers of blessings in their lives, Father. Will you just bring that? Let them know how real your love is for them, because we know you're not an impersonal God. No way. You're very personal, because you know us. You have every detail about us in your mind. You're thinking about us all the time. And we just want to tell you, Lord, thank you. And we just want to praise you. We want to just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praises of which you certainly most deserve. Father, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.